أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما الله مخلصين له الدين. وقال عز وجل أيضا: وإذا مروا باللغو مر. وقال عز وجل: إنما المؤمنون إخوة. وقال أيضا: يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات. وقال أيضا: من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. وقال: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسك. وقال: إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات. أقي الشبهات، فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لدينه، إلى آخر الحديث، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبعد، الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله on the most precious gift of Iman, Deen of Islam, the knowledge of our Deen preserved in the Quran Sharif that remains unaltered to the extent of even a single letter. And similarly, the extension of the Quran Sharif, its elaboration, the ahadith of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for which great sacrifices were given. And as an appreciation of those sacrifices, we look at a great alim of hadith in this ummah, whom Allah Ta'ala had granted wide-ranging acceptance for the compilation of one of the authentic books of hadith known as the Sunan Abi Dawood. When a person studies the alim course in the final year, it is called Dawratul Hadith, where the entire day and night is spent in the Mubarak Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And amongst other books or kitabs, six are read in the entirety from the very first to the last hadith, known as Sahih Sitta, the six authentic compilations: the Bukhari Sharif, the Muslim Sharif, the Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan Ibn Majah, Sunan An-Nasai. These are great compilations of hadith. Great sacrifices were given, and strict codes of authentication of a hadith that many people had given their entire lives to. The great muhaddithin would sometimes travel, even in the very early years of Islam. Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anh travels all the way from Medina Munawwara to go to Damascus to listen to one hadith from a sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu anh. Though Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anh is more senior in the narration of hadith, he travels at long distance and purchases a conveyance specifically for that purpose only, to listen to one hadith. And no sooner did he hear it does he turn back and go all the way thousands of kilometers to Medina Munawwara. So one of the great compilations, the Sunan Abi Dawood, the personality whom Allah Ta'ala had accepted for this great work, Imam Abu Dawood, whose name is Sulaiman ibn al-Ash'ath, Al-Azdi Al-Sijistani, who originates from the tribe of Azd from Yemen, but was born into and lived in the area of Sijistan that incorporates to present day Afghanistan and parts of Iran. Iran for a long time was predominantly Sunni, and by atrocities and forceful conversions, especially in later times, the Safavid Empire is what deprives it of that Sunni majority. So Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, a great alim who reigned from that region, from a young age Allah Ta'ala had accepted him. He had dedicated his life to memorizing the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, traveling the many, many bastions of ilm, of the knowledge of hadith: Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, the lands of Sham, Syria, Damascus and its surroundings, Egypt, Iraq, in the major cities, Baghdad, Basra, Naishabur, and many, many other parts of the world. In fact, his asatida, his shuyukh in hadith, subhanallah, number 300. Such great sacrifices they had given for the preservation of the sunnah, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was born in the year 202 Hijri, eventually passed away in the year 275 after Hijrah, on the 16th of Shawwal, making his age at the time of passing on 73 according to the lunar calendar. He passed away eventually in the southern city of Iraq, of Basra, and is buried next to Sufyan Thawri rahimahullahu ta'ala. He had many outstanding characteristics, so much so the critiques of the authentication of narrators, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, speak about him in the most glowing terms of the phenomenal memory Allah Ta'ala had blessed him. It is renowned that he would read a text just once and memorize it for life. Allah had blessed him with photographic memory. Over and above that, his sacrifices, his continuous qurbani in going from ustad to sheikh, and continuously amassing this amount of hadith, and with all of that, a high level of piety, abstinence from dunya, love for Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, classifies him unanimously as one of the greatest scholars of hadith in his time. So Allah Ta'ala had granted him this wide-ranging acceptance. One point that we take from his life that is highly beneficial is that when we take the knowledge of deen is not a self-study that one merely researches on one's own and formulates an opinion. We take it from an authentic source that is known as sanad, a transmission, a chain that links one to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, a person learns hadith from a certain alim who in turn has taken it from his ustad and his sheikh. And in this way, a person can produce an entire sanad, a chain that goes all the way directly to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remaining in this chain and deriving our knowledge from this correct source, it's what saves a person from being deviated, from being prone to ideologies in the name of Islam that is far-fetched from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So when they describe Imam Abu Dawud, and this is so important, one of his great asatida and mashayikh was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, a great alim of hadith, a great faqih and a jurist. They say Imam Abu Dawud resembled his ustad in ways, in mannerisms and in character. So therefore important to stay in the company of the salihin, of one's ustad, of one's shaykh. You learn from the akhlaq, from the character, from the humility, from the love for sunnah. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah in turn resembled his ustad Imam Waqi', and his ustad Sufyan al-Thawri, and his ustad Mansur, and then he in turn Ibrahim al-Nakhai, and then he highly resembled his ustad Alqama, who is the direct student of the great Sahabi Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu an. And it is said that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu an, the exact same description, resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in character, in mannerisms, in etiquette. So we stay in the company of the salihin, learn from their ways, the akhlaq, the piety, the mannerisms, and in this is the preservation of our deen. So Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah mentions, and in here we take great lesson. He says when he set out the compilation of this great kitab, eventually it numbers 5,274 ahadith that he has compiled. But at the starting point, he had written down 500,000 hadith which he had memorized. Subhanallah, what a phenomenal memory. 500,000, half a million ahadith that he has memorized. Not just the text, not just the chain, but the text with great authenticity. And then he says he selected from these approximately 4,800 of the most authentic, and eventually with a few repetitives, his compilation has said 5,274 of those 500,000. And then he says, and he comments, and here is the lesson for us. He says, of this complete compilation of minds, there are four ahadith that if you practice upon it, then for instance, the foundation of deen, the preservation of deen, can be found in these four hadith. That practice upon four hadith that I have, it is of intellect and foresight, and it is sufficient for the preservation of the entire deen. So what are these four ahadith? Number one, he says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are based upon, will be judged according to, will be rewarded according. So to bring about ikhlas, this is the main action of the heart, that whatever I do, I'm leaving home to come to masjid, I'm giving a few rands, a sadaqah, I'm donating to the house of Allah Ta'ala, I'm looking with love and compassion towards my parents, because it is Allah's command, I'm leaving home to earn a halal rizq, sometime day or night, whether a parent, whether in the cell phone, there may be a temptation of haram, but I leave it. So any action, merely looking at another Muslim and smiling in the face, knowing that this is an ibadah, in all of these, that Ya Allah, I'm doing this only and solely, exclusively for your pleasure, for your love and your happiness. So to bring about ikhlas and sincerity, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ensure that you bring about ikhlas in all your actions. A source of small amount of action sufficing for you. The Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu is commanding the Muslim forces in the lands of Persia, great battles, Qadisiyah, when in one area it is renowned that the Persian king possesses a crown that has very, very expensive jewels, and the Muslims are victorious. This crown is not yet seen in the spoils of war. When Hadhrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was injured and commanding from his tent, he's approached by a person who had covered himself, and he puts down that extremely precious crown. So he says, tell me, who are you? What is your name? From which tribe do you come from? He says, that being that Allah, for whose pleasure I have displayed this trustworthiness, he knows my name, my tribe, and my origins, and that is sufficient for me. And he turns around and leaves a great act of honesty, trustworthiness, done exclusively for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Second hadith, in which are the foundations of deen, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ, that from the beauty of a person's Islam, Allah has blessed us this deen of Islam. So how is the beauty of Islam manifested? How does it show up that a person leaves and forsakes all of those things that are la yani, of no benefit to a person, of no benefit materially, of no benefit from a dunya point of view, as well as importantly, no benefit for a person's deen, no benefit for a person's akhirah? Let us ask ourselves this question very, very sincerely. There's so many activities, pastimes we may be involved in. Let us try and judge it on this definition of la yani, of that which is of no benefit whatsoever to a person's deen or dunya. On the other hand, within this category, first is to forsake haram and sin, gatherings wherein there is open, blatant disobedience of Allah Ta'ala taking place. There may be music, there may be intermingling, there may be consumption of alcohol and liquor, substance abuse, immodesty, behayai that is displayed. That is clear-cut haram. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, or it may be Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, were passing a gathering wherein there was music blaring. He covered his ears tightly and walked a distance. And when he was told that that sound can no longer reach here, this is the manifestation of the ayah, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا, when they pass by gatherings of sin, or that in which there is pure amusement, negligence from Allah Ta'ala, they do so with dignity, with their izzah intact, without blemishing their integrity and their izzah. So let us ask ourselves the questions with all sincerity of heart, that so many a pastime and activity following a sports game or a match, hours and hours, sometimes days go into it. How will we answer to Allah Ta'ala about what benefit there was for a person in that? So the beauty of a person's Islam, Every minute in this life is absolutely precious. When people are in Jannah and enjoying the greatest favors of Allah Ta'ala, they will have one lingering regret in their hearts. And that will be those moments in this dunya spent when dhikr of Allah Ta'ala could have been made, but the time had passed by, it was wasted in some other activity of no benefit. Number 3, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That is, a person loves for his fellow Muslim brother, or his sister loves for her fellow Muslim sister, what you love for yourself. All of us want to be treated well, so treat others well. Our dignity is important, preserve the dignity of others. We do not wish to be harmed physically, so abstain, refrain from physical, from verbal abuse. One never wants financial rights that belongs to a person to be stolen or usurped, taken by another person. So love for another what you love for yourself. And Islam, many incidents of people coming to the droves in Islam, into Islam, because of honesty, integrity, and the compassionate display of Muslims in respecting the property, lives and wealth of local residents. And lastly, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ. The fourth hadith, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, those things that are halal are very clear-cut and evident, and those things which Allah Ta'ala has made haram are also very clear-cut, no doubt in them whatsoever. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. Between the two you will get the grey areas, some things that are doubtful. It may be okay, may not be okay. So what is our approach in those matters? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very emphatically and clearly says, the one who has abstained from those doubtful areas, from the grey areas, has indeed preserved his deen and his dignity. In that is the protection and the preservation of deen, to abstain from the prohibitions. In an extended form of this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a beautiful example. A person who is a shepherd and grazes his goats or his sheep in a certain land, but right on the boundary, on the periphery of that land, which is clearly prohibited, maybe belonging to the king, and at some time or the other, those goats are not fully in his control, some of them will trespass into that protected territory, and this person will land himself in trouble. So safer is to stay far away from those boundaries, so stay away from the prohibitions. We learn Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, great alim, muhaddith of this ummah. And where does it originate? His father Mubarak was a slave and refrained from partaking in the orchard in which he was charged to see to, did not taste a fruit because he was not given permission to do so. Eventually his master, on seeing this honesty, this integrity, got him married to his daughter. And it is from such a pure origin of halal rizq, of abstaining from the prohibitions, abstaining from doubtful, that brought about a child such as Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah. Imam Abu Dawud, rahimahullah, love of sunnah. On one occasion he is traveling in a boat. When on the shoreline a person sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah, and amongst the rights that the Muslim has on others, is that when a person sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, it is a haqq, a right that he enjoys, that we say Yarhamukallah. His boat was traveling too fast for him to respond, so he hired a small rowboat and quickly went to the shoreline, met up with a person and said Yarhamukallah, and then got into that rowboat that he had hired and got back onto the main conveyance, spending one dirham. So his companions asked him, why did you go to such lengths? He says, it is a sunnah, keeping alive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it may be that he's a pious person and his du'as will benefit me tremendously. That night when they slept, while traveling in the ocean, every one of them had a dream where a voice said that Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah, today he has purchased his jannah for one dirham, one silver coin is what he had paid for the hiring of that boat. So to repeat those four hadith that are the summary of this great compilation of thousands of hadith, the protection, the preservation of deen, that action judged and rewarded according to intention. The beauty of a person's Islam is to forsake all things that are of no benefit to a person's deen or dunya, and nobody will attain perfection in iman until you do not love for another person, for your fellow believer, what you love for yourself, the love of hidayat and guidance for one and all. So our actions, our deeds, our character, especially our dealings, become a conduit and invitation to Islam. And lastly, to abstain from the prohibitions, and especially to abstain from those things which are doubtful. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. To donate as generously as possible, as mentioned last week, we have the normal masjid collection. Let us, inshallah, this honor of spending on the house of Allah Ta'ala is indeed a great honor. And then with it, side by side, there is another box which is marked clearly, sadaqah, that food hampers, etc., to those who are in more need. Also very, very fortunate, inshallah, tomorrow evening, that is Saturday evening, very important program, inshallah, a renowned alim of our country, Mawlana Dawood Sidat Sahib, Hafidhahullah, originally from Maritzburg. Mawlana has done great work amongst the youth, many people who are far from deen, them with hidayat through Mawlana's company, through his guidance, through his compassion. So great experience in this regard. Inshallah, tomorrow after Maghrib, very important advices will be given, as well as for ulama ikram. After the Asr Salah, there will be special advices, inshallah, in the basement of the madrasa. So inshallah, tomorrow after Maghrib, we try and take the maximum benefit of this opportunity. Mawlana had also taken tremendous benefit from one of the most senior ulama of our country, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala. So let us, inshallah, not miss this great opportunity Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and take the maximum benefit that our islah and reformation takes place, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, was salatu was salamu ala sayyidina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du, fa ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqullaha azza wa jalla fi sirri wal alan, yuhibbul muttaqeen. Wa man yattaqillaha yaj'al lahu min amrihi yusra, wa man yattaqillaha yukaffir anhu sayyiatihi wa yu'zim lahu ajra. Ayyuhal muslimun, فلنشكر الله عز وجل على أعظم نعمة أتاحنا بها، وهي نعمة الإيمان وحسن الإسلام. قال الله عز وجل: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال أيضا: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. وقال عز وجل: فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات. وقال أيضا: من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه. وقال: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين، وبينهما أمور مشتبهات، فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لدينه وعرضه. وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنهم وعن جميع الصحابة، لا سيما عن أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمهات المؤمنين، خصوصا عن خديجة الكبرى وعائشة الصديقة وحفصة رضي الله عنهن، وعن بنات النبي زينب ورقية وأم كلثوم وفاطمة الزهراء، وعن سيدنا وعن الأمين المكرمين حمزة بن عبد المطلب وعباس بن عبد المطلب، وعن بقية العشرة المبشرة وعاوية بن أبي سفيان رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير القرون قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم فرج عن كرب المسلمين، اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن رواتنا، اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا، اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Let's tighten the swelling gap between shoulders. Ensure that the heels are in a straight line. Stand as close as possible. Leave no gaps between the shoulders. استووا اعتدلوا تقاربوا تراصوا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي أخرج المرعى فاجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه الجهر وما يخفى، ونيسرك لليسرى، فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، سيذكر من يخشى، ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا، لحما وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تحياة والآخرة خير وأبقى. إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟ وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة، تصلى نارا حامية، تسقى من عين آنية، ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع، لا يغني من جوع، وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية، في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية، فيها عين جارية، فيها سرر مرفوعة، وأكواب موضوعة، ونمارق مصفوفة، وزرابي مبثوثة. أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت، وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت. فذكر إنما أنت مذكر، لست عليهم بمسيطر، إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر. إن إلينا إيابهم، ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك، اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها، واجرنا من خبل القبر وعذاب الآخرة. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد، وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.